Blog Talk Radio.
Joining us for another episode of Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Seth. Y'all should know who I am by now. Looking for a very exciting show tonight. A lot of things going on around the family, with the family, and we will definitely enlighten you here in a little bit. But first, how are you doing? Hopefully everybody's doing very well. I want to thank everybody for those of y'all that are here already in the chat room, on the phone lines, those of you that are already here, I definitely want to thank y'all. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate it. Also, I want to see what we got here. I'm trying to do three things here one time. I'll tell y'all what, let me just allow some more family to come. I'm going to hit y'all with another little tune here. And we'll just give the families a little bit more time. I know some people said they'd be coming. So we'll be right back. It's just a little break and allow some more family members to come. So just hold on and we'll be right back. Mm-hmm. In the background. Again, want to thank everybody for joining us for another episode. We have a lot to cover tonight, and hopefully y'all will call in tonight, family, and let us know even more things that's going on that have went on this week and that will be going on next week. So don't be shy. Call in. Let us know what's happening. Tonight, tonight on the hour, 10 o'clock on the hour, we will be interviewing Miguel and Montrese, and they will be talking about their mom, the late Alma Jean Booker Abba Shama. All right, so again, tonight, 10 o'clock, we will be interviewing Montrese and Miguel, and they will be talking about their mom, the late Alma Jean Booker Abba Shama. All right? Had a time saying that last name there for a while. But anyway, we'll be talking about Alma Jean tonight, and Montrese and Miguel should know, if anybody, about her and what was she like. Some of y'all never really got to know Alma Jean and all the things that she was about, what she liked, disliked. Just her, the person, Alma Jean, the person. So hopefully Montrese and Miguel will enlighten us. I know all of us, most of us should know in this family, but there's a lot of us that don't. So tonight is the night for Miguel and Montrese. So family, there's a lot happening, like I said. Before I begin, I just want to one more time just kind of go, just kind of remind everybody what the show really, the purpose of the show is, because I want everybody to be crystal clear what I'm trying to do here. We're trying to simply get to know each other a little bit more by interviewing different people. Eventually, everybody in this family, hopefully, will answer yes to the call when I ask them to come on the show, or answer yes to the call when somebody else wants them to come on the show, because eventually somebody else will be hosting this, at least, if not, I hope, at least periodically. This is not the best show. People keep saying, da-da-da-da, I enjoyed your show. Da-da-da-da, I enjoyed your show. But it really, really, truly is not my show. If y'all think that, you don't quite get the vision yet. The vision is for different family members to come in, host the show, interview different parts of the family. We just get to know different people's talent, different people's gifts. We have very many orchards in the family. We have very smart people that can talk about many subjects, and we hope to bring them on and be educated by family, updated by family. There's family that can tell us about the economy. There's family that's probably, I believe, that can tell us about science. Don't think these young people in the family are not learning nothing in school. And some of us older people know a little some too. So just different family members come forward and just contribute. You know, you don't have to be no masters or professors or PhDs. Knowledge is knowledge. You don't care who head it jump in. Anybody can contribute to a conversation. And I'm not intimidated by nobody. When I know something, I know something. If I don't know something, I just don't know something. But what I know, I know. And tonight, I'm just encouraging everybody to call in with your comments, suggestions, criticism. Not criticism. We want to keep it upbeat and positive, like I always say. But just if you got some ideas you think that the show could use, let us know. Drop me an email. Y'all know me. I'm on Facebook, and I have an email address. So just drop me a line or call me. I'll come on the show and say it in front of everybody. But we definitely need to make this happen, family, because we are all we have. You know, this family and our friends is all we have as a network. That's why we call this the Booker Douglas Family and Friends Network. Now, somebody had once suggested I give the phone number out, so I'm going to do that. Some of y'all online, I don't know why you can't see the phone number, but a lot of you probably can't for whatever reason. I'm used to Blog Talk, so I probably see it clearer than most people. But if you're looking at that main page, right in the middle, right below, I apologize for that. It's right there in front of you, 760-283-0838. 760-283-0838. That is the number to the show. So call us if you're on the computer and you want to comment or have a question. If you're listening on the phone lines, however, and you want to be a part of the internet world, you want to hear the show on your computer, you want to also chat, which means you have to go to Blog Talk Radio and log in. Then you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's blog blogtalkradio.com, and then you want to type a slash, the number 5 underscore smooth underscore stones, 5 underscore smooth underscore stones, and you can go directly to the website and listen to us on the internet, okay? So, folks, please, please, family, let's make this happen. I mean, I'm so thankful we've had so many listeners over the months we've been doing this. Y'all are listening. That is the good news. And that is what encouraged me to keep doing this show, because y'all are definitely, definitely out there listening. But you, for some reason, very many don't call in live. So what we would like to accomplish tonight, is get y'all's participation as far as calling and letting us know any meetings going on, any family news is what we want to know about. I know this weekend, well, before I get into that, let me do one more thing. Let me just look here, because I got a checklist here, and I'm checking off different things as I mention them. Okay. Let me just go ahead and say, first of all, happy birthday to Aunt Naomi. I know it's the past tense, but she had a birthday party on last night. I did not make the party, and I have a very good reason that I didn't make the party. I didn't find it out till later. I remember somebody saying something about it in the past, but not enough where it was sticking in my head. I think it was tentative last time I heard. But after the party was on its way, and I was getting off work, Arlene mentioned to me that Joel had told her that Aunt Robbie was having a birthday party. So I considered going. Actually, me and Arlene headed that way twice and turned around twice, because the first time we turned around, we thought about Lydia. We had just sent Lydia off to a choir thing over at Trinity, and I would have had to drive way over to the north side and come back, and like, I could only stay like 15 minutes, and that wouldn't have been right, so we just decided not to go. But happy birthday, Aunt Naomi, and anybody else that had birthdays over this weekend, happy birthday to y'all. And I'm going to play a little something, just in celebration of that. But I don't think I know of anybody else's birthday over the weekend. I'm trying to think. Y'all got to keep me posted now, because I don't always remember, but I don't think there's any other birthdays. But anyway, happy birthday, Naomi. I'm sure I heard there was a lot of people there, standing room only from what I heard. So some of y'all maybe can fill me in on the details if you want to. Just then y'all on the phone lines that went and it had a good time, just press 1. Let me know what's up. Tell us what's happened. Give us an update on what happened at the birthday party. If you went and you're not shy and you don't mind just letting us know, again, thank y'all, those of you that are already in the chat room, thank y'all for being there early on time. It's always good to be on time, so you won't miss nothing, because you never know what I'm going to do early. Some things I put at the top of the show, some things I put at the back of the show, just to keep it mixed up. But anyway, I'm trying to find the birthday song here. I got so many songs on my queue here, it's just sometimes hard to find anything. But anyway, yeah, I heard it was very packed, standing room only. Mars actually called me and told me about it. So sorry I didn't make it. But anyway, this is a song by the one and only Stevie Wonder, and he is just doing this rendition of Happy Birthday. So this is to Naomi, and then we'll be back. I'm trying to stall a little bit and allow more family members to come if y'all can tell. So let's just go ahead and play this song for Naomi, and then we'll be right back shortly. Just a little bit of Happy Birthday by Stevie Wonder. Check this out.
That
let that play in the background again. That goes out to Amy Omi. Had a wonderful birthday party. I hear I didn't make it again. Sorry. Apologize. Again, Arlene and I tried to actually come that way twice and changed our mind because of various things we had going on. All right? So I think that's a strong enough alibi. What do y'all think? But anyway, also, wanted to just mention that Chris Booker has established a email for everybody to start using with regards to family news. In other words, he created this email, and if we have any family-oriented stuff, instead of sending it, you can just send it all to one address. And that address is, let me just give it to you right quick. It's BookerDouglas3@gmail.com. BookerDouglas3@gmail.com. And what that means is, specifically, it's mainly designed for this barbecue that Chris is at, spearheading on June the 17th. June 17th, Chris is going to be having this barbecue, everybody. So he just wanted me to let everybody know that he is for sure having this barbecue. So this summer, we may have a couple of events. I don't know if Donna's going to do her thing, but if not, we at least will have the barbecue that Chris is going to have. And sometime Donna do her thing. I don't know if she's going to do it this year or not, but it'd be nice if we had two events during the summer to make up for last year when we didn't have anything. So anyway, this summer, a barbecue, Chris Booker. Again, if y'all have any family-related stuff you want, simply email it to Chris at BookerDouglas3@gmail.com. All right? And let me just look here, make sure we're covering everything. And just wanted to mention to everybody that please don't forget about the first, second, third show. Uncle Bud or Kayla Booker was the very first person to say yes to an interview, and I want to play just a few little clips from that early show just to kind of give y'all a taste of what we talked about. Please stop by and listen to his interview, that show, as well as Bobby Baylor had the Reverend Bobby Baylor had the second show. And so here's just a clip of that first show with Uncle Bud. This is Uncle Bud talking about his hobbies, and it's very short. Just check it out. Give y'all a sample of what you've been missing.
Let me ask you this. Name a few hobbies you do. That really, really, really you like. If I say name the top things you'd enjoy doing, just give me top five things you just really. I mean, if you became a wealthy man tomorrow, you'll still do these things. What is it?
Well, a lot of things I would do, I wouldn't have to be a wealthy man.
I hear you on that.
Like I used to take flying lessons, you know. And they were really cheap, you know. I could take the money that I was spending on a Friday night getting drunk to pay for a flying lesson Saturday. You know, that's how cheap it was. And even today, compared to other hobbies and stuff, flying lessons is very expensive.
Where did you fly?
I flew the single engine Cessna. You know, that's single engine. And
How long did you take flying lessons?
I took about 5 weekends. Yeah, about 5 weekends. And I belong to this flying club. See, the thing about this flying club is the first time you sit in the airplane, right, you take off. You're the one that's taking the plane up. You're the one that's flying the plane. Well, the instructor's sitting on side of you. Well, he telling you what to do, but you start the first day in the plane. You're flying. And every time you go, You fly first. You get the flying thing down. Get so many flying hours in.
And it's Uncle Bud talking about his hobbies. Just one of his hobbies. Check this out. This is another little short clip talking about his political views. Check this out.
Republican, independent? How you feel politically? What's your political stand on Obama? And just give me a quick nutshell of where you stand on everyday events with politics.
Well, I'm a Democrat. You know, I've been a Democrat since I can remember Dwight Eisenhower.
Why?
Because it appears to me that Democrats is for helping the poor, you know, poor people, and the, you know, less fortunate people of society. Okay, Republicans seem to be more interested in the wealth and the rich. You know, to me, I can't see that 10% of the world population, of the money, the economy of the world, belong to 10% of people. You know,
that's true. That's true.
So
actually, it's true, and that's what this whole Occupy Wall Street is all about. They're because 1% of America owns most of the wealth. I think 1%. I know 10% own 80% of the wealth. I know that, and I think 1% own like 60. It's pretty pathetic.
And the cool part about that, is 70% of the wealth was inherited.
Yeah, that's Uncle Bud just giving his political views. Like I said, y'all, check out that first show. It's really, really, really nice. Y'all missing out, I'm telling you. You're missing out. So please do that. And don't forget the second show was by Bobby Baylor, Reverend Bobby Baylor. And then the third show was Gula B. Gula B was a person that I didn't know that much about. This is actually Dorothy Ching's brother. And I did know that that was Caleb Booker's, our grandfather's nephew. Didn't know that. And so he had, I probably enjoyed the interview more than a lot of others because I didn't know him that well. And then I didn't know his angle of how he used to live with Big Mama and Caleb Booker back in the day. And he talked a lot about an angle, the way he's seen them. And it's just kind of good hearing these different people talk about the different angles, different experiences. I know some people probably ask this question over and over and over again. Why do you have these shows? Why do you have these shows? Why is this important? As y'all have probably picked up by now, the 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock is talking about the future. We talk about what has happened today, last week, next week, in the future programs. And then the second hour, we talk about the past. So tonight, we'll be talking about, as I mentioned earlier, we'll be interviewing, we'll be talking about Emma Jean tonight, Emma Jean Booker Abu Shama. And who better know about Emma Jean than Miguel and Montrese? So Miguel and Montrese are supposed to call us on the hour, 10 o'clock tonight, and talk about their mom. I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a double interview, so I'll have both of them on, and they'll be reminiscing the late Emma Jean. Okay, which is my aunt and Azalee and Caleb Booker's daughter. Y'all should know that. Some of y'all young people might not know Emma Jean. That's why we're doing these shows. And those of us that do know Emma Jean that think we know everything about her, well, when Montrese and Miguel get through talking, we may find out some stuff we never, ever, ever thought about. So I'm going to go ahead and take a little short break here, and I want to got a couple of couple of clips I want y'all to listen to with regards to your health. Okay? So don't go nowhere. These are going to be talking about iodine and just some products I want y'all to really listen to. Write this website down. These people don't rip nobody off. They're the real deal. And I promise you, if you would just go to the website, you can find some good health items for you. And so just check this out, get your pens and paper out, and write this website down, these products down, because we need to be healthier for sure. Check this out.
iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and it's safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Okay, I'm back. I want to thank y'all for checking it out. Again, I hope y'all wrote that information down. And I know a lot of that, some people, young people say, oh, that's for the old folks, but that information is some young people can use as well. But anyway, before I go any further, I want to acknowledge someone. It looks like Tasha's on the line. Tasha has some very interesting things she wants to share about scholarships and so forth. So I want to bring her on the line at this time. Tasha, are you there?
Yes, Beth. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Again, welcome to the show. And I want to thank you for coming on and sharing this information. But anyway, folks, Tasha got some information she wants to share with y'all. I don't know if y'all know it or not, but Tasha actually sits on the board at her school. Yeah, I'm going to let her tell you about that. But she is very familiar with scholarships and different things like that. So this is not just for students. This is for grown-ups that know students. Listen to what Tasha's saying, and y'all share this with everybody you can. But go ahead, Tasha, let them know what you do at Geyer. And tell them what you do and what information you got for them.
Well, honestly, there's a lot of information that I would like to be able to give out. What I would love to do, and I would like to invite anybody in the family, or you know, I would like to form a scholarship or college board, like a committee, if you will, for our family. I think that you know, there's a lot of people in the family that can you know give information, you know, and things. I may not know everything, just so that we can help the upcoming graduates and, you know, the students that are coming through. We're always going to have people graduating. And I just feel like, you know, myself, personally, there's a lot of stuff that I didn't know, and I had to bump my head quite a bit and wasted a whole lot of time. And so, you know, just in light of me having kids that are getting ready to come out of school relatively soon, I've been motivated to try to give them the best start that I can and try to find out as much information as I can. But there's a lot of information out there, and sometimes we think that the schools will tell us, but they're not going to tell us. We have to seek the information out. So if anybody's interested in maybe forming a committee, it would be greatly appreciated. I want to do it, but sometimes when you're by yourself, sometimes you lack the motivation to do it, and so sometimes you need others to kind of help motivate you along and start actually planning and, you know, put dates in place so that you can actually say, okay, let's meet. Because I get phone calls often, you know, people asking me, you know, what should I do next? And honestly, it is sort of, you almost should have a plan. You know, you should have a calendar, you know, saying, okay, in January I should start doing this, or I should start doing this. And oftentimes by the time people call, it's really too late to kind of get some of those things started. So I guess the first thing that I would recommend is that if you have a student, regardless of what grade they're in, if they're in high school, they need to kind of actively know what their GPA is and what their rank is. They're equally important. The rank is just as important as the GPA, because sometimes if you have a high enough rank, you're pretty much guaranteed a scholarship. You don't have to work for it. You just have to know that if I'm ranked in the top 10%, then I can go pretty much where I want to go. So
is that right? Is that really right? No,
yeah.
If you rank in the top 10%.
Yeah, your rank is very, very important. And so that's a lot of people don't think about the rank. But I never forget. I was sitting in school, and you know, you hear people say, and I didn't really know what how important it was. But you say, oh, I was number 3 in my class. Well, how big was your school? Well, there was only 200 people in the whole school. Well, they got full rides. You know, even though it doesn't necessarily mean that you're the smartest in the pool of graduates, but it just means that if you're ranked, you can apply. But a lot of people don't know that. Oscar's here, sitting here pointing to him. Tell him about me. Oscar was ranked pretty high in the school, but because he didn't know about scholarships, he didn't get one. So his way out, he thought, was...
Oh, Oscar ranked pretty high? Wait a second. Oscar ranks pretty high in school?
He did. In high school, he was in the top 5? He graduated top 5% of his school.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
He didn't get one scholarship because he didn't know. A lot of it is because we lack the information. So... I guess the first thing I would say is find out what your rank is. I mean, sometimes we think that GPA is all that matters, but the rank is very important as well. So, and it's one of the things that, it can make or break.
Speaking of rank, I mean, I know you're talking about scholarship, but I got to jump in here and say this. Gianna, great point average. Will you kind of just let everybody know that I know y'all don't like tooting your own horn and all that, but I hear, I'm going to let you tell everybody, what is her grade point average?
Well, Gianna, right now, she's on a 5.0 scale. So, and the reason why she's on a 5.0 scale versus a 4.0 is because she takes pre-AP courses, which are just like college courses that, you would take, but you're able to take them in high school. And so, but she's been able to pull off a 4.8 GPA. We're very proud of her.
Hold on, you got to say it real slow now. A 4.8, that is crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, but it's doable. It's doable for a lot of students. I think the thing that makes me most proud for her is that she doesn't seem to struggle for it. It just kind of, I think she just kind of floats right on through. And so I wonder what could she do if she really applies herself fully. It comes real easy for her.
Well, you tell her congratulations before we even move on, because that right there ain't no joking. That's hard, hard, hard work. I got Liddy in this IB program, same kind of program, AP over at Trinity, and I know them courses ain't no joke. They ain't no joke. Liddy have always made A's, but she stumbled up on this HEB territory, and it's IB. Okay. She's still doing good. She, but she ain't no 4.8, but she's still doing very good. I'm very proud of Liddy for even staying in it, because a lot of these kids, they get in and they jump out of it because it's too much. So she's been hanging there. But that is really, really good. But listen, folks, y'all listening, and especially you students, don't be thinking you got to be a 4.8 or you got to be in an AP program to get these scholarships. So go ahead and talk
about
what you
want. It's about being a well-rounded student, finding different things. It's not all about the GPA. One thing that I feel like we kind of slacked on is Gianna needs to volunteer more. She needs to find different organizations and things to link up with, and it's not, you can get all the grades, but you have to build a resume for colleges now. So it's not just about the grades. So Liddy may be a more well-rounded student, and so she could probably equally apply for any colleges like John, and they could probably do very well in their selection. So it is about being a well-rounded student and making sure that, that you get involved in the best things, and go ask your counselors. They will tell you what to get involved in. What colleges look at, what they feel like, because sometimes we get in those groups of stuff that don't mean anything, but you get into the right ones, and like the debate team and the volunteer with the Habitat for Humanity and things like that. Get involved in some of those programs and things like that. But there's a lot said. I mean, we could talk about scholarships, and there's so many out there. I think one thing that I was kind of surprised to find out was that you can start applying as early as second grade. And I feel like I have been late on a lot of things. Like, there's scholarships for, my little ones. you know, she could start applying for just by if she, and there's one if, off the top of my head, like it's like a volunteer. If they volunteered in any type program and if they were to get $5,000, what would they do with it? And they write a little essay, and they would not only get the $5,000, but then they would, then they could choose to, you know, whatever cause or whatever they want to donate the other $5,000 to whatever group they want to give it to. So you can start early. You know, just don't wait till your kids are in high school. And I feel like I don't think I've waited too late, but I think I could have gotten started a lot sooner. And I found out about this scholarship on the Fort Worth ISD's website. On the first page, you go in, click, they have scholarships listed right there, starting all the way from second grade, all the way through high school. Through your 12th grade year.
Okay, well, like I said, I didn't know that, and it's blowing me away. I mean, I heard it, I've always heard a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but it's interesting to know that. I didn't know you can do it that young.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't know you can apply that young. So you, just one more time, you looking for a committee that will do what again?
Well, you just want to make sure you're a well-rounded individual. Much like when you, you know, you apply for a job. A job is not just looking for, you know, those basic skills. They want to see if there's somebody that they can train and, you know, that they can, you know, work with. So it's the same thing when you're applying for colleges. You know, you need to be aware.
No, Tasha, I'm saying you had said you would look, you'd like some time the motivation to do this, that, and other. You're looking for what you really would like is a committee. You were saying that.
I really would like a committee. So I really would invite anyone that would like to join me, and you can contact me, you know, either via my email or on my cell, which is 940-300-5106. My email address, as long as my name is RATOSHA_MEJIA@Yahoo. So if you have any interest in kind of forming the committee, I mean, I would like to kind of walk students, you know, if we can get them early, just, you know, kind of motivate them and show them how to go. You know, we could do it. And sometimes, and don't be discouraged because you feel like you don't have the GPA. What I've been discovering is that a lot of these colleges have bridge programs that will help, you know, they will allow you to go to a junior college and take certain courses. And as long as you do, or you know, you obtain, like, I think it's a 2.5 GPA in the college, you can gain admission to those colleges. Some of these, the big universities like Texas Tech, you know, A&M, a lot of them have these programs that even though you may not have applied yourself in college, if you can prove to them that you can do, I mean, in high school, you can, you know, they will allow you to, you know, gain admission to the university when you otherwise couldn't. So there's a lot of things out there. So just because you didn't get the, you know, the high GPA or didn't score as high as you would have liked on the SAT, ACT, you know, you, there's still a way to get in some of these big schools. And sometimes it's not always about going to the big schools. You know, it's about starting small. Once you drink, going to your junior colleges, because honestly, that's something that I'm considering even for Gianna, just so that she can kind of get used to the, you know, just the everyday of going to class and being responsible. Because sometimes we think they'll just go ahead and run and jump out to those big schools, but sometimes you have to do what's best for you so that you can, you know, assimilate better, so that when you do go off, you don't crash and burn. So,
I appreciate that. I really, really appreciate that, Tasha. That's some good knowledge. I mean, actually, what you're sharing can be money in folks' pocket. That's a different kind of announcement, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully everybody is listening. I know we got people in the chat room, and several people in the chat room, more people in the chat room than on the phone lines, and we got people on the phone lines as well. So they hear you, not to mention, as I say every week, don't forget about the people that are listening in the future to the archives. That's where we get the high numbers at, because somebody may not hear the show now, but I've sent a lot of family reminders, so they'll get their reminder tomorrow in the mail, and they'll click on the link. And if they didn't go on Facebook, if they're on Facebook tonight, they should know about the show tonight. So, Tasha, listen, really, really appreciate you coming on and sharing that. Okay, I really do, really do. So, I'm gonna go ahead and because I gotta play a couple more things here, and then we go looking for Miguel and Montrese to call here in about 15 minutes. I don't know how I'm gonna squeeze all this in 15 minutes, but anyway, thank you for calling, sharing, folks. That's a number of money in y'all's pocket, and I'm listening to myself because for sure Lydia will take advantage of some of that. Hopefully.
Well, thank you, Sam. Well, I just tell everybody I love you, and I look forward to the next meeting.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate it, okay?
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. That was Tasha just kind of educating us on different types of grants that, well, she was talking about how their kids can get grants. And hopefully y'all heard that they can get them very young. You don't have to wait till they get in high school. And also she's looking to have this committee. Y'all got the phone number. She said it. She was pretty. She said it pretty slow. And also remember, after the show, you can always rewind and get her email and information again. All right. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna play a quick clip that I failed to play last week. This is talking about buying gold. You know, I don't know if you heard anything about. Well, we played last week the Stansberry report talking about the economy and what's about to happen. Serious, serious forecast for the United States economy. And I know a lot of y'all say, oh, this over my head. I can't understand that stuff. But this is real deal economist preachers that have been saying that this stuff is going to happen. And it's going to happen, folks. It is going to happen. So if we prepare and not be like the people in New Orleans, you know, if we prepare, not picking on the people in New Orleans, but if we listen to these forecasts from these educated, and I'm talking about folks that don't normally cry doom and gloom. They are saying that the dollar is going to fall very soon, and it's going to change our way of life. Preachers have been saying it. Ministers have been saying it. Prophets have been saying it. Economists have been saying it. And I've never seen these people ever agree on nothing. So here's a good idea as to what to do with extra money you got, if some of y'all got a little bit more than others. But just a little quick little reminder of what to do with some extra money you might have. Check this little clip out.
Hey, everybody, Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now, look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate, so you could lose money. Gold goes up and down. But every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery. So you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237. 2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Jason Lewis is the man. And these people don't have on the show unless they are good people, legitimate people. And like I say, it's just one idea. I know some of y'all don't understand that, probably never even, some of y'all probably got enough money to, you know, you get in tight, you know, crunches, and you probably can't do nothing. But some of y'all have a little extra sum, or maybe you know friends who have a little extra sum, and I'm telling y'all, gold is the way to go. They're telling us that it's the only recession-proof thing we can do with our money, those of us, again, that's got the little extra sum, okay? I know that's not for everybody, but I just got to just, I ran across that, and lots of people have listened to that. It's one of the clips on YouTube that's really getting a lot of attention. I was going to play this Stansberry research thing, and this guy really, really, really is something I want to share with the family. I mean, this is a research organization that they actually tell which rich people what to do with their money, and that's how they become a world-known research organization. But they're breaking down in simple layman terms what is happening. All that mumbo-jumbo y'all hear on CNN, ABC, CBS, these people are breaking it down on layman's terms what is happening in the economy. But before they do that, I want to just play, since we're on the subject of economy, we always do that right before we do the interview. So before, I'm not going to even know if I'm going to be able to squeeze that in today because it's about 14 minutes, and I want to get Lovey's, Lovey is trying to do some things, and I wanted to play her before I play those folks. But those folks ain't no joke as far as, you know, as far as knowing what's going on and giving good advice. They break down exactly what is about to happen. And I mean, a teenager could understand it. They break it down so simple, and you'll know and have a better understanding on what's happening around you once you hear the Stansberry report. So that's what I was going to do. So but we can wait. All right, so this is Lovey. She's talking about something she's got going on. I told her I would play it this time around. She's been on before, and this is actually a pre-recorded clip of Lovey just talking about some of the things she's trying to do with her business. And it sounds pretty interesting, so I'm really hoping that she is successful with this business, okay? But this is Lovey talking about what she's doing right now.
So Just Energy is the name of the company. I got that part. Give me the website again, slow. The website again, a little slower.
Yeah, my website, you can go to my website or you can check out the presentation and it'll show you the whole format about what we'll be doing and how things work. Every week is a different it's a different promotion every week. So it'll be more ways that you can make money. Like I had when I signed up, I got one person to join up under me, and I just made $300 off having that one person sign up under me. So every week, we got a different promotion. We got different things, different venues going on. And my website, again, is lsandlin dot mymomentis, mymomentis dot biz. And the presentation website is www.teamchampion.biz, and it asks you for the password, which is champion in all caps. So if this is something you want to do, you can look on there and check out the full presentation, or get with me, call me, or text me, or hit me up on Facebook, or even email me using my granny's email is almajane, almajane 59@yahoo.com.
Well, I appreciate that. That is about as thorough as anybody gonna do on advertising. So, and how long you been in?
I just started a week or two ago. Not long ago, and I'm already enjoying it. Just trying to get the word out of.
And that's Lovey just talking about her new business she's been doing. She left clear information, y'all. Don't forget, if you didn't catch it, at the end of the show, just rewind back to what she was, to her comment. And y'all call her, email her, and get involved, okay? That's for those of y'all that are looking for opportunities like that. Like I say, we like to, right before we bring on the guests, present this economic portion of the show. That's why we had on Lovey, and that's why I played the gold clip. Now, this is something I'm going to play, and we'll just let this play until we get the guests to call in. Until they call in, we're going to listen to the Stansberry Research Group. This is a group I was telling y'all about that have insight on what is happening in our world. And when we meet as a family, we can talk about birthdays, and we should. We can talk about anniversaries, and we should. We can talk about meetings that we have in the family, and we should. We can talk about news around the family, and we should. That's what the show is mainly designed for. But I think it's a great idea to also talk about what's happening in the real world, the movers and shakers, what is coming down the pipe for us as as a family. And this stuff is affecting us. A lot of this is affecting our pocketbook. So this group tries to break it down on a very low, low level where anybody can understand this economy. So check this out, and we'll let it play until the guests come. When the guests come, we have to interrupt it. So if y'all are enjoying it, I apologize, because we got to get the guests on as soon as they call. But check out this until the guests come. This is called the Stansberry Research Group, and they are breaking down what CNN, ABC, and everybody else is saying is going to happen to our economy. How they talk about there's being there will be eventually a rush on food, gas, and these things are happening. It's already slowly happening. You can't say they're wrong because it's already happening. So check this out, and they're going to tell you about exactly this forecast. Now, again, if you trust in the Most High, if you trust the Father, He is going to take care of you no matter what. Don't let nobody scare you, okay? He is going to take care of us if, that's a big, gigantic if, if we just trust him and listen, to that still small voice, that infamous still small voice that lead all of us out of through that lays a table before our enemies, that lead us through in the path of righteousness. So check this out. This is the Stansberry Group breaking down the forecast of the U.S. economy and really world economy. I know some of y'all may not like world economy, and it may seem like it's something, but you might find this very interesting. Check this out, and we'll let this play until the guests come.
They believe this would make it easier for people to afford their debts. In reality, all it did was make anyone holding British sterling 14% poorer overnight. It made everything in Britain much, much more expensive in the coming years. For the country as a whole, it ushered in one of the worst decades in modern British history. Most Americans don't know anything about Britain's winter of discontent in the late 1970s when the government put a freeze on wages. There were continuous strikes in nearly every sector, grave diggers, trash collectors, even hospital workers. Things got so bad at one point that many hospitals were reduced to accepting emergency patients only. In 1975, inflation in Britain skyrocketed to 26.9% in a single year. The government also imposed what was known as a three-day week in 1974. In short, businesses were limited to using electricity for only three specified consecutive days each week, and they were prohibited from working longer hours on those days. Television companies were required to cease broadcasting at 10:30 p.m. to save electricity. The extreme problems in the economy led Britain to being nicknamed the sick man of Europe. Just how bad were things exactly? Well, listen to the experiences of several Brits. Their stories were collected recently by the BBC television channel. John Blackburn from Wetherby said,
"I was a control engineer at Huddersfield Power Station at the time, and part of my duty was to switch off the supply to various substations around the town according to an official rota. On many an evening shift, I would have to switch off the power to my own home before going back for a candle-lit supper."
Richard Evans from London recalls,
"My mother had to cross a picket line to get into the maternity hospital. They told her she couldn't come in. My grandmother had to bring in food for her to eat and clean towels and bedding."
And David Stoker from Guildford said,
"I lived in the northeast near Newcastle, and I vividly remember my grandmother and I walking from one shop to another in search of candles. All was sold out. Innovative butchers placed string down cartons of drippings which we bought. These worked, although the smell and risk of fire made them less practical than candles."
Imagine, Britain was a global superpower for 150 years, but when they started intentionally devaluing their currency, things went straight downhill. Maybe you don't think something similar can happen here, but I'm telling you, it's already underway. In fact, the exchange value of the U.S. dollar has fallen about 8% so far this year, and its rate of decline is accelerating. What happened to the British currency is now happening to the U.S. dollar. Not only will the price of gas, oil, and other commodities skyrocket in America, almost everything we consume will immediately get more expensive. All the clothing, furniture, and household goods we import from China, all the food we get from Central and South America, all the electronics, television, computers, and cars we get from Asia and Europe. In fact, it's happening right now before our eyes. The price of gold is up 85% since the start of the financial crisis. Oil prices have...
Again, everybody, we listen to the Standard Research team waiting on our guests to call, and they'll be calling shortly.
Cotton prices are up 80% in just the past few months since July of this year. As Wesley Card, the head of a clothing company that includes brands like Dockers and Anne Klein, was recently quoted by the Epoch Times. "It's really a no-choice situation," he said. "Prices have to come up." This chart shows how much a few key commodities have skyrocketed in price just since the beginning of 2009. Of course, skyrocketing commodity prices are just the beginning. There are other disastrous consequences to the U.S. dollar losing status as the world's reserve currency. For example, there would be much less demand for U.S. dollars around the globe, so interest rates will skyrocket. Instead of getting a mortgage at today's incredibly low rates of 4.5%, it might cost you 8%, or even 10% or 15%. Imagine what that would do to housing prices. Stock prices would likely plummet by at least 40% in a matter of weeks as a result of this event in the currency markets. It will cost every American business a lot more money for supplies and materials. No one will be able to get a loan, and no bank will want to make loans. In short, when the U.S. dollar loses its spot as the world's reserve currency, it will cause a brutal downturn in the economy, which I expect will be about 10 times worse than the mortgage crisis of 2008. You see, what will also happen as a result of this currency crisis and the end of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency will be massive inflation, the likes of which we've never seen before. When everyone is trying to get rid of their dollars, the government is printing more and more to pay debts, and no one wants to own them, the crisis will reach epic proportions. Just look, for example, at what happened to one European country that faced this type of crisis in the 1990s. This is what happens during a major hyperinflation in the real world. By the early 1990s, the national government of one European nation had spent nearly all of its savings. What did they do next? Simple. They began to...
Again, everybody, we're just waiting on the host to call. They did call me and let me know they're going to be a little late, so they should be calling in a minute, but they definitely will be here. That is Miguel and Montrese talking about Imogene. I think they're going to do a, they're trying to work out doing a party line where they own one phone line, I think is what they're trying to work on. So just give them a second. But check out the Stansberry report. This gentleman is breaking down what is happening, what is going to be happening in the economy real soon. And these folks have helped lots of people. Check this out.
Much worse. You see, once you start down the dangerous road of printing money, things can get extremely bad very quickly. As San Jose State University economics professor Dr. Thayer Watkins explains, the government tried to counter the inflation by imposing price controls. But when inflation continued, the government price controls made the price producers were getting so ridiculously low that they simply stopped producing. Bakers stopped making bread. Slaughterhouses refused to sell meat to the stores, and other stores closed down. So what did the government do next to try to curb inflation? Well, one bright idea they had was to force stores to fill out government documents every time they increased prices. They thought this would slow down price increases because the paperwork would take so much time. But like many government plans, this one had terrible unintended consequences. Since stores had a dedicated employee to do nothing but register the paperwork, and since the process took so long, stores began to raise prices on basic goods at even higher rates, so that they didn't have to come back and file more paperwork. Incredible, isn't it? Then, of course, the government did what all governments do during periods of hyperinflation. They created a new currency, which basically removed six zeros from the old one. So 100 million old units were soon worth 100 new units. Of course, this didn't work either. It never does. Between October 1993 and January 1995, prices increased.
Okay, we'll listen to the rest of that next week. I just wanted y'all to just get a little bit of that. But this, again, is a Stansberry group. You can listen to them all. They're all over the Internet. Lots of wealthy people listen to these people, and they put their money based upon this group. That's how powerful they are. Folks listen when they speak. So anyway, our host is on the phone line, so I'm going to go ahead and bring them on, and that is, I think this is Miguel calling from area code 850-712-850-712. Miguel, is that you?
Yeah, it's me, Seth. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Were you able to get a connect up with Montrese?
Yeah, she's actually listening to you.
Oh, okay. All right, Montrese, hello.
Well, she's not on this line. I think she was on her phone listening to the station itself, so she may be trying to call in.
Okay, well, hold on a second. This may be her here because there was an unidentified number. Okay, there we go. All right, area code 817-655. Montrese, is that you? Montrese? Hello?
Hello?
Montrese, are you there?
Can you hear me, Seth?
I can hear you with that. There you go with that delay again. We hear you loud and clear, loud and clear.
Okay.
Well, listen.
Anyway, listen, welcome to the show, Miguel and Montrese. Really appreciate y'all taking the taking me up on this interview. Y'all didn't have to do it. I always appreciate folks that come on the show. Everybody's busy. Everybody got a lot on their plate. But I just want to thank y'all again. So, first of all, before I say anything, how y'all doing? How y'all really doing?
We're doing good.
Yeah, this is normally your bedtime, ain't it?
Yeah.
Don't you normally sleep about this time on Sundays?
No, I'm here. I mean, wide awoke.
Okay. Well, listen, as y'all know, tonight we're talking about Alma Jean, better known as Alma Jean Booker, probably by most people. Fewer people know Alma Jean Booker Abu Shama. So we'll just say Alma Jean for short tonight. But those that are listening that don't know who Alma Jean Booker Abu Shama is, she is the daughter of Caleb and Azalee Booker. This is her children on the phone lines, the one and only Miguel and the one and only Montrese. I'm so glad to have y'all on the show, and I mean that. I take this show very seriously. I think if we don't understand the value of it until a little later on, and I know other day I had the opportunity to listen to Bud's show, which was the very first show, and I actually listened to it again because it's interesting, you know, and I think some people don't care I don't expect people to listen to this show every single week. I would think everybody got a life and they just don't have time. I know it's hard for me, but this is what I call, this is my family time right here. This is what I do because I can't make a lot of events with the family, but this is what I can do right here. And so hopefully somebody can relieve me and host the show in the future. But anyway, y'all, I want y'all to open this show up by simply answering one question, the first question, I should say. With regards to Alma Jean, I want y'all both to take turns. Like when I ask you a question, Miguel, please, if you don't mind, I want you to answer the question, and then Montrese, you turn around and ask the same question. So the first question I want to ask you is, when you hear the name Alma Jean, what is the first thing you think of now? And Montrese, why don't you go first?
When I think about my mother, she was a praying woman. And, sometimes, every time we get in the car, I've been with her so long, I could just about tell you the prayer she prayed just to start off with, and she would be riding in the car and she would say, Lord, save my children, save my son-in-law, save my grandchildren, set a marriages and, stuff like that. Then, then she'll go in and she will say, Lord, you find a decent wife and husband for my grandchildren. And then she'll go and she'll say, well, Lord, you save my sisters and my brothers and get them married, stuff like that. And then my nieces and nephews. And right after she paid, about three marriages popped up at the same time.
Oh, really?
So, after she paid about three or four marriages, came in this family. But then because of her prayer, she said, Lord, and she could name me out one by one. She said, Seth, Morris, Byron, all y'all. She named all y'all one by one. And she said, Lord, get
really?
All the wives. And then
really?
she'll say, all her nieces, get them husbands, London and Donna, Tasha, Shannon, they all married now. In other words, yeah, because that's the prayer she prayed for us, I tell her all the time. I said, why you want to pray that kind of prayer? I know it's sensitive to other folks, but to me, that's my mother. And sometimes I just question her. I said, why you want to pray that kind of prayer? She said, Lord, deliver my children,
start with Montrese first and her household.
Interesting.
So, so, and then, you know, then she'll say, pray for Miguel, bless him, bless his marriage. You know, two, she passed away, then Miguel got married. You see what I'm saying? So,
Go ahead. So when you hear Emma Jean, that's one of the first things you think of.
And then she'll tell them that you feel not only you feel them they met, but you feel them and give them a sanctified wife and sanctified husband and fill them with the Holy Ghost.
Interesting. Well, I appreciate that. I did not know that. Of course, I don't know a whole lot of stuff. But that's very interesting.
Yeah.
I would have never known that one.
You'd never known that. Yeah. Yeah, that's what she used to say all the time. That's what she used to say all the time. And Miguel got a beautiful wife, and, you know, and I love her dearly.
Seth, Seth, when I think about Emma Jean, it's you have to forgive me. You know, this is still a Emma Jean is still very dear and close to us, in my heart, my tree's heart as well. And a day doesn't go by when I don't miss her and think about her. Literally, a day doesn't go by when I don't think about her. But so it gets difficult at times. But It's when I think about Emma Jean, I hear a name, I think about strength, because I'm often reminded of the things that Emma Jean sacrificed in her personal life for me and Montrese. When she first got saved, you know, there were times when Emma Jean would work two and three jobs, and she did whatever she had to do to make sure that we was taken care of, and that was always her main goal. She never wanted us to be without, and there were times when we didn't have very much, but what we did have, it was always clean, in order like our house, in order like our life. And there was one thing you just couldn't take from her, and that was her relationship and belief and strength with God. And that was one of the things that she, you know, in spite of anything else, she wanted us to understand. So often, you know, when someone asks me about my mother, the first thing I say, even with the people at my church, you know, I often remind them, you know, my mom was a mother who sacrificed her life to save my life, to save my sister's life. And it's just something that you don't really think about or realize until the moment that they're gone. So when I think about or hear Emma Jean's name, that's what I think about. I think about the strength and her courage and the sacrifice that she made for me and my sister. And I hope that I can pass that on to my kids as well, because it's something that will never be forgotten and something I would always carry with me as well. That's about it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, Miguel. Very well put, both of y'all. Very well put. I didn't see either one of those answers coming. Well, let me ask you the next thing. Got something else I want to ask y'all. Now, even though you just answered, this is a different question. Okay, that's what you think of when you first hear Emma Jean. I'm gonna ask you this, Montrese. What kind of person was she? If you're explaining your mother to her.
To me, she was a godly woman, but she was also outgoing, you know, until she got sick. She was outgoing, you know. At church, she would go to church. Okay, they have to do, no, she'd go to church, but she also was like this. She paid her tithes. When she couldn't go no more, she would send her tithes. And then she would feed the homeless. You know, like mother, she got a sister, the mother Demma, she was to go to church with us. And, you know, when they was up at age, they could get around, they said, cook for the homeless. And I go over there and I buy the stuff for her. I said, oh, what you doing? And she said, girl, come get this stuff. Or come take this sister Demma. Or, you know, the mother, and she'd be fixing a big pot of beans and rice, you know, and she feed the people off the street. That's the kind of mother she was. And then, too, you know, she'd probably cook a pan of chicken.
and she was being direct. You see what I'm saying? And she was just a outgoing person.
Okay, really was. I mean, Jean loved to love. She loved to help. She wanted to see everybody happy. She just wanted to love everybody. Yeah. And it amazed me because it didn't matter who she got around. She used to always try to make them laugh. I always tried to make them smile. In spite of whatever her pain or her hurt or her physical condition may have been at that moment, that's all she ever wanted to do was just love people. And she wanted, she didn't ask for much. She just wanted everyone else to be happy and love.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell y'all a little quick, a little something that my, y'all may find funny, but it really is the truth. I remember Emma Jean when me and Mara, she'd go over the house, and she used to always make a up. She was kind of like Mama. She was the second one in the family behind Mama that was had that cleanup thing going on. So she, too, like Mama, liked to clean house, and we would get over there, and she would clean. But when Emma Jean was in the world, Emma Jean was in the world. You know what I mean? She wasn't one of them people half-stepping. She was always in the world. And when I heard she had got saved, I never will forget. I was like, Emma Jean ain't saved. They said, she is saved. Emma Jean saved.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Emma Jean is not saved. And even Mama used to talk about, no, Steph, she really, I said, I can't believe it. I can't see it. I have to see it with my own eyes. Because you don't see people in the world that deep. No, she wasn't no bad person. She just liked partying. I'm not talking about nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about, you know how you see somebody and they really like to party and they look like the last person to go to church. That's how Emma Jean was to me, you know. And so finally when I saw her, I just was blown away. I mean, she really, 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 really was saved. And I never ever sensed she was faking or anything after that. So I thought I'd share that with y'all, but I surely did say that. Let me ask y'all three things. Let me ask you, what is the three things you remember she said the most, Emma Jean said the most? Miguel, I want you to go first this time. Three things you remember Emma Jean said the most. I mean, three things you remember that she said the most that rings in your mind the most that she would say.
Pray. Pray was the number one thing. And that's just, I mean, that was always her thing with me. Pray. And that she used to tell me all the time to live my life, and to she was proud of me. And she
really?
Used to tell me, you know, most people didn't realize. Jean used to call me at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. This is the one thing I miss about her the most. But she used to call me at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, wake me up. And I was aware of her health conditions. And when you get a phone call that kind of morning, the first thing you think is something bad. But I would get these phone calls, and it would be Emma Jean on the other line, just crying and speaking in tongue and just praying and speaking in tongue, literally shouting on the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, what do you do? Nothing but lay there and listen. And then she would say, I love you. Then you go to sleep. And don't worry about tomorrow. And I'd just be laying there thinking, okay. Okay. And, I mean, that was Emma Jean. That was Emma Jean right there. My wife would be like, who is that at 3 o'clock in the morning? That's my mother. Just don't worry about it.
Oh, really?
So, yes. And even today, you know, if my phone rings for some reason in the middle of the night, that's the first person I think about. I wake up and I think about, I know that's not Emma Jean calling.
Really?
So, in any case, yes. Those are the three things that I remember the most. You would always tell me, always pray. Don't ever stop praying. Her last words to me, when she came out of surgery, when she had her heart surgery, last thing she said to me is, don't stop praying. Just pray. Pray for me and just pray for everybody. And I'll talk to you later. That was the last thing I heard from her.
Wow. Okay, Ms. Montrese, your time. Three things that you remember her saying the most.
The only one she got to me, like Miguel was saying, she would say, did you get up and pray this morning? Because, you know, when my husband, you know, because my husband was a pastor, and she'll call me every 5 minutes.
what you cooking? If I say nothing set, you need to be up doing something. I could be like, paint up, cook, and everything else. But I say nothing. I'm not doing nothing. But she could call me every 5 minutes. Sometimes I could just sit here and my phone ring back to back every 5 minutes. That's what she's been doing. I said, now, I'll be saying to myself, you need to stop calling. You know, so I figured out one day I cook, pick up the phone. She said, what you do? I said, I'm cooking. Well, what you cook? I tell her, well, I'm cooking so-and-so. Was your house clean? I said, yes, ma'am.
Oh, she'd ask you that?
No. She was asking that. It's not because I got children. And she was always crazy about her grandchildren. That's one thing. She loves her grandchildren. And she used to tell me all the time, don't go buy no chicken. Don't buy no chicken. Don't buy some chicken. That little money you got, get them children some shoes or cook them a decent meal or something like
that. Why don't you say don't buy no chicken?
Well, no, it's written that no fried chicken. In other words,
she was thinking about their health. Don't buy them no junk. Go buy them something they can use.
Yeah. Don't buy no whole bunch of junk. Just go in there and cook a decent meal for your husband and for your children. And every day I do that. I cook a decent meal for my husband and my children. You know,
Seth, it's funny because she would tell me the same thing. She would call me and have me make sure I was cooking my wife dinner, running her a bath, and she came home from work. Will you make sure you take care of her when she comes in the house? And I'm thinking, hold on a second. But isn't this supposed to be the other way around? But that's not. I'm a genius to tell me all the time. I didn't raise a man for some woman to take care of, okay? I didn't raise a man for no one to take care of you. I raised you so you learn how to take care of yourself, for you to be able to take care of yourself. And you need to go in there and make sure that you love your wife, love on her, hug her, and kiss her, and tell her you love her, and run her bath water, and make her some dinner, and buy some flowers. I think I just bought her flowers last week. Do I got to buy more? But that was her. She was a huge proponent of making sure you did for someone else.
Mm-hmm. Really?
That's it.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. That kind of sounds like some things Mama used to say. She didn't go that deep talking about running bath water for your wife, but she was talking about be good to your wife. Mama would always say be good to your wife, or she would always say that to me. Well, interesting. I knew this interview would do this. I knew y'all be saying some stuff that I never heard, never even thought to even think. Let me ask you this. Let's go back a little earlier in Emma Jean's childhood. Do y'all remember her talking about her childhood? I want, why don't you go first, Montrese? Just name three things she mentioned about her childhood, the earlier Emma Jean.
The earlier Emma Jean of her childhood, my mind go blank, but I don't think I remember she was saying that Aunyomi helped raise them. You know, because Big Mama had to work, and so Aunyomi took in being a mother to them, you know, the young generation. And what she did, she would make them rougher socks, rougher panties, and put ruffles around their dresses, and comb their hair and send them out the door. That's about it.
Wait a minute. She said, Naomi
raised
them?
Well, you know, because Big Mama had to work.
And so
Naomi was in the house with them, and Naomi raised, you know, I'm Jane Vermeer and Naomi, being the white.
I didn't know that.
And Naomi, you got to sew. You know, she also did her, so she would do their hair, you know, fix their hair, you know, and put ruffle socks, ruffle panties, ruffle socks, and lace around that little dresses and everything, and they were gone. That's about the only thing I remember.
You know what was
That's
funny when I
remember.
You know what I was? What you said that was funny, I want you to share it with everybody. What you told me, I thought this was funny the other day. You call, what you call Verna Mae?
Okay. I was heading over, and she was at Channel 8 News. Yama was at Channel 4 News, and she was at Channel 5 News, and Robert was at Channel 11 News. And I told me my two, see, we were sitting talk. I said, well, y'all, you know, Channel 5 News, it went off to her, you know, she don't, they don't, you know, how I put it, to Channel 5 News, it just went off. And children, they get a good laugh out of it. They say, well, we ain't got no more Channel 5, so.
I ain't never heard that much. They really
yeah.
are news channels, though, for real. They are news channels, for real.
Yeah. So
Miguel, I'm going to give you the same question. What do you remember about Emma Jean's childhood? I mean, you're a little older. Anything you remember, any stories she shared that you might want to share about her early?
I can't get into earlier than this. I mean, I don't know a lot about. You know, I mean, I'll just talk small, a little bit about her, you know, adventures when, you know, she went to college a little bit and she tried to go to college and her and Verna Mae and Vern. But the one thing, the story that I heard about 100 times was, you know, Emma Jean, she was not a fan of cats. She did not like cats. If you had a cat in your house, she wasn't coming over there. You couldn't even give her food from your house if you had a cat. And it was because, you know, her and Aunt Vern had, you know, they were two peas in a pod growing up. They were like twins. They were joining each other's help. They played together all the time, and she used to tell us stories of all the things they used to do as little girls. And one of the things that stand out was, you know, she used to tell a story about a trick that Verna Mae played on her where she took a cat and threw it on her. Because she knew she didn't like cats, and she wanted to tease her with her, so she took a cat and she didn't throw a little bit on her, but she threw it at her. And Jean, of course, just had a fit. But until this day, Jean would still bring up the fact that anytime she saw a cat, she literally just started screaming. And I'm thinking,
really?
What's wrong with you? And she would go back, Aunt Verna, you threw a cat at me that one time, and I swear to you, I do not like cat. Get that cat away from me, because every time I see her, it reminds me of that day. I'm like, Jesus, are you kidding me?
Really?
It was 80 years ago.
I did not know that. I'm trying to think. Did I ever remember her talking about cats? Good night. I didn't know that. So
yeah.
She just relived it all over again, huh?
Yeah, she relived it all over again. You know, I mean, it was to the point where it was funny after a while. Even she would laugh about it and tell her story. And every now and then she reminded Vern, remember that time you threw that cat on me, girl? And Vern made like, girl, I didn't throw no cat on you. What you talking about? You know, but that was that one little thing there. But that's the one thing that I remember the most. It was that one moment she used to always talk about, her and Vern.
Well, let me ask y'all this. Let's talk about some favorite things she liked, like maybe her favorite song or favorite colors or favorite pastime event. So let's just start. What was her favorite song, Miguel? You remember any songs that she liked? I know she had a lot, and that's one thing I know she had a lot of is songs. I remember going over there and listening to one thing I did like about going over to Emma Jean's house when we was younger is we could listen to some other songs that Mama didn't like, because you know Mama only allowed Christian music, gospel music, and Emma Jean, you can go over there and listen to Earth, Wind, and Fire, and so we used to like that. That's one thing I remember that we did.
Well,
like.
You have to remember
What was the favorite?
You have to remember something, Seth. Emma Jean, even though she was saved, she still had an appreciation for her certain music. You know, when she liked her Frankie Beverly, she liked her Maze and you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire and Teddy. But, you know,
well,
she
listened
to her gospel.
Give me a favorite song she liked. Just what do you think? What do you think?
Oh, my God.
One of her favorite songs.
Secular wise, I think it was Turn Off the Lights. she started laughing because she used to play it all the time. She had so many of them, but it was Turn Off the Lights by Teddy Pendergrass. Turn off the lights and light a candle.
Right.
And then from a church perspective, she had so many gospel songs that I can't even think of on the top of my head. I think of the pastime, though, Seth, I would have to tell her what she loved the most was when she sang in our family choir. You remember how we used to have our family choir and we used to sing gospels and march in the church and everything? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That was one. Yeah, we used to do that occasion, which was fun, I remember. But
I like that.
Was one of her favorite pastimes. She really enjoyed it and loved that the most.
The family programs, Miguel? The family programs?
Yes.
Yeah, I like those too.
Where we used to all get together as a choir, like a family choir, when we would sing, and Donna and Tanya would have their little solo parts.
Over the A. Robbins Church.
Yes, yes. And we would march in, everybody wearing the same colors, and all the ladies would have yellow flowers on their dresses.
Right, like that.
We all march
in. Yeah. Like that picture you got, the one with the blue dresses.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So,
all right, Marquise, what do you think is what's her favorite song?
Oh, she has so many favorite songs. And my favorite, she told her granddaughter, Lovey, the song when she was a baby. And I messed around and went in the room and Lovey was saying Teddy Pendergraph. And what's that man's name? Luther Vandross.
Luther Vandross.
And right today, this day, Lovey got the old school song. She got some, you know, up to hip hop day songs, but she rather listen to the old blues songs because that's what she grew up on. You know, like Turn Out the Light, Ring My Bell. She got Barry White, you know, Teddy Pendergraph, you know, and she got all of it. And I said, why are you playing this stuff in my car, all of it? Why are you listening to it? She said, Mama, because that's what my granny used to listen to. And they used to have B.B. King, and that was the number one album right there, B.B. King. And, you know, and they also got Shirley Caesar, and, you know, and what else? It's a more gospel song she liked to listen to. She was just a classic music person. She was a classic music person.
Oh, she liked classic music?
Yes, yes, yes. And she liked the old timey songs back in the day.
Yeah, I remember
not
that.
Not classical necessarily. Not classical set necessarily, but she was a classic. She liked old fashioned, the old classic style music that most people in her time grew up listening to.
Who
wasn't a Soul Train fan, you know, when she was in her mid-20s? When they were in their mid-20s.
Yeah,
Did I ask you a question?
Y'all really got me thinking back in the days of me and Tanya and Pud and Mop used to go over there, and she had always had music going. That's why I told you, when they said she was saved, I knew what that meant. And they were always, you know, I'm a Gene Unchanged, and I just couldn't believe it. But like you said, Miguel, you don't have to abandon good singing, good songs. You don't have to abandon songs that had meaning to them. You don't have to abandon, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just sin.
Now, today, in today's time, today's music is not the same as it was then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I see it as well. I mean, today you have to be a little bit more critical about what you're listening to, you know, especially if you're a Christian. You have to be a little more careful what you subject yourself to and what you allow your kids to subject themselves to. Music today is not the same as it was growing up. I think if Mama Jean was here today and was listening to some of the music, you know, she would probably start speaking in tongues. So,
yeah.
I'm proud of Mama Jean. I don't know much about, you know, as you stated before, her party life. I don't know much about any of that. I just know my mother from the time when I was able to understand more about her. I just remember what I appreciate about her, the fact that she was always there, and so forth. And she, and it wasn't anything that, you know, she wouldn't do for us. You know, one of her favorite things also was go to the movie. We used to take her to the driving theater all the time.
Oh, really?
And yes, that was another one of her things. Is she used to take us to the drive-in all the time. We used to be fun. Even today, I still think about the times that we had went to the drive-in theater. We used to sit there and eat and just have fun at the drive-in in the back seat there. In any case.
Well, let me ask y'all this, and I appreciate y'all asking this question. It's very private times you have with your mom, and I appreciate you sharing this with everybody. I'm sure everybody's getting a little education. We thought we knew some things, and we do, but we're learning some other things. Okay, what was her favorite color? See if y'all going to agree on this. What was her favorite color?
I would say red. I would think red, I think. Red and blue, I would think. It's kind of difficult because she's never really talked about it.
Okay, all right. I know it's one of those things. You're right. Everybody don't ask. All right. Montrese, what do you think it was?
She liked all kinds of color. It wasn't no certain color. She never did pink. She loved all kinds of colors.
Let me ask y'all this. What was her favorite pastime? I know y'all mentioned a few things, church, but, you know, I'm sure other than church and other than praising the Lord, and we know Aunt Amy Jean was definitely into that, what were some other things y'all can say to people that she enjoyed doing? Yeah, you know, like when she was not at church, and she's what kind of other things did she enjoy doing?
She loved spending time with her family.
Okay,
and that was her thing. Yes. I mean, she didn't ask. Once again, Seth, you have to understand, she didn't have very many hobbies. She didn't go out a lot. I mean, she enjoyed her friends. She liked talking on the phone to her friends. But her biggest thing, she would get so much excitement at any time there was a family function, when everybody would get together. But she just lived for that. That was her thing, you know, having a barbecue or dinner or something with her family. She lived for that. That was her thing. She liked watching movies. She loved watching movies.
Really?
But she was a big movie buff. But she didn't have very many hobbies.
Let me ask y'all this, because this is another thing I wanted to. I ask everybody to come on and show this question. And I want y'all to think about this and just kind of start thinking about this. We'll ask it last. Or we can ask it now. Well, let's just wait till last. I always ask this last. What would be the message you think, Alma Jean, your mom would say to the family right now? But just let's do that one last. But kind of be thinking about that in the back of your mind, if you don't mind, please. We just got a couple more other than that last question. And the next one would be, give me about, just some fun things y'all did together. I mean, you talked a lot about things she said. You talked about three things you remember she said the most. You talked about her childhood. You mentioned her favorite song. But I want to talk about some things y'all did together with your mom it don't have to be, it can be serious things. It could be conversations. Just some times when she was just with you, Miguel, or she was just with you, Montree. Some things y'all, times you spent together. Give me just any amount that you want. You can just name one thing, or you can name three things, whatever. Just share with us some times y'all spent with Emma Jean that you want to share, some things that, if you don't mind.
I got one. Oh, well, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. So I got one thing on my mind that me and her shared together, you know, because we was always like a playing partner. And one day I went over to our house, you know, and we were sitting at the table. And we said, no, I'll fix a little lunch and stuff. And I sat down and I was eating with her. And she looked at me, you know, she just busted out with the laughing. And I was like, well, you know, what are you laughing at?
She said, you know what? God bless me with one daughter, but you got three. And she just started back laughing. I was like, no. I was all looking at her. The way she laughed, I laughed, you know. But then when I bring my children around there, you know, let them go see Granny, you know, she'll play with them, you know, and, you know, hug them and kiss them and talk to
like,
them.
So she was saying, like, was she saying to Montrese, like, she was blessed with one, but you've been blessed three times? Or was she saying, like, laughing at you got three times that, go ahead.
Okay, no, the way it was, she was laughing because she said, God bless me with one child. And then, you know, she got two children, but once she with one daughter. But he said, Montrese, you got three daughters. So she said, now, you have to buy, you know, talking about the birds and the bees, you know how you talk to your children,
Of
life, and all that. And I was like, I had my hand on my chin, and I was like, I was just looking at it, and she was just in there laughing. She said, but you know what? I love you. And, you know, and every time I go over there, now I take my children with me, and she just didn't talk with grandchildren, you know, and sometimes she'll call in, and I said, who is that you talking to? I'm talking to my other baby now, you know. I said, who is that? This is Miguel. I said, oh, you know, and stuff like that, but most of all, she just look at these children. And so for some reason, one of my children will say something, and they have her just crack it, laugh until she start crying.
I remember that I just happened to think of, listen to you talk, Montrese, I happen to remember, Alma Jean drew a lot of young people around. Do y'all remember that when y'all was young?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of young people. It's like
she was
like a
lot of young people.
Because when we would come over, it would be the place to be. I remember right next door to y'all, there was a guy named Man. You remember Man and Gene, or were y'all too little?
I remember Man and Gene.
Do you remember Man and Gene?
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to have fun with them guys, man.
Yeah.
We used to have fun with them guys. Yeah, but
and you know, Seth, I'll tell you what's funny. I had forgot all about that until Alma Jean's funeral at the wake. I remember sitting there, looking around the room at all these people from my past when I was growing up and the amount of people she had affected, I hadn't even realized. And one of the guys in that I used to hang out in the apartment complex that was kind of a roughneck and was always in trouble, you know, he stood up and he had kind of gave a little speech about my mom, and I was just blown away because I didn't know the amount of people she had affected, the amount of kids she had affected, and the number of people that came up to me within the course of that time between the wake and the funeral, everyone giving me their condolences, was a lot of the people from my past growing up with them as kids. I was just amazed because I didn't think they even knew my mom. So that was amazing to me.
That's something I definitely remember. It's all those young people, young girls, and I think Alma Jean was one of the ones that always try to encourage them. So I can only imagine what happened after she got saved. I wasn't in the mix then. I was up, you know, doing my own thing. But I can only imagine after she got the salvation piece of it, because she was already relating to them before she had gotten saved. She was trying to, you know, make sure they did the right thing. It was just fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jean was really fun with young people. Her and Brenna Mae.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably because they're the youngest aunt. But let me ask y'all, this is the last question. Next to the last question, we'll ask the last question. I don't want to rush y'all. Were y'all done? Were y'all done as far as things you can think of doing with her?
Yes.
Okay. Now let's ask this last question. All right. And I'm really wanting to know the answer to this one. The happiest times you ever seen, Alma Jean. Miguel, why don't you go first on this one? The happiest time. Give me a couple of times you've seen her just beside herself, just grinning from ear to ear, just excited.
Well, it was two times, actually. I think the first was when my son was born. She was just beside herself. And the second was after I got divorced the first time. It was a very rough time for me because, you know, I'm a huge proponent of family. And it was a kind of a devastating thing for me. And it was a rough time like most people go through who've gone through divorce. You know, it's a tough time because you feel like your life is kind of falling apart. But Amma Jean stuck with me the entire time. And she never stopped praying for me. But about a good 5 years had passed by when I met my wife. And I remember the day I called my wife. I mean, I had been in a couple of different relationships in between that time frame. But I met my wife before she was my wife. And I remember calling Amma Jean and saying, hey, listen, I've met someone. And I think this is the one. And Amma Jean said, what? I said, yeah. I was actually in church, Amma Jean. And she just kind of scooted over next to me and shared her Bible with me. Amma Jean went to screaming and hollering and just screaming and hollering and laughing. It was a mixture between laughing and crying and screaming. And I'm like, what in the world? She was just beside herself. And from that point on, she kept saying, you're going to be okay. I know you're going to be okay now. And I'm like, well, what is all that about? And she said she had a dream that I met someone in church. And she was a beautiful young lady. And you met her in church and so forth. And she was convinced that that was it. And I was thinking, okay. I mean, she literally, she went from laughing and screaming to crying and speaking in tongues.
For real?
And so forth. Yes. But you have to keep in mind, too, that Amma Jean was the type of person that I could be having a rough time at work. And she had a repetitive time. She would call me. She would usually call me between 7:30 morning, at least 3 or 4 days a week. On my way going to work the following, I knew exactly who it was because she was very consistent. And then she would sneak up in the middle of the night and call me. But she would call me, and if I was having a problem at work or kind of going through some things, a trial or something, you know, I kind of kept it to myself. I didn't really talk about it much, you know, it was just me. But Amma Jean would call me, and she would be, is everything okay? Yeah, everything's fine. And then she would start prophesying to me. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're going into work today, this is what you need to do, this, and that. And the gentleman that you're having a problem with, and she would start talking about something that I hadn't even spoken to her about. How does she know this?
No, really?
And yeah, so it was our connection, even though I was so distant, it was unbelievable. I would get off the phone just kind of like with a ghost-like look in my face, like, how does she know that? And she would... just as smooth to come in, she would just be just as smooth going out. Okay, well, I'm going to go now. And she hung the phone up. And I used to say to myself, was that a dream? How does she know that? And but anyway, that was just a connection. So when she said that to me, needless to say, when, you know, I told her that I met this young lady at church, needless to say, it was kind of profound to me. And I'll tell you something else that's strange. Amma Jean passed away in February, and I came home and seen her in December. And I brought my wife to meet her for the first time. And as we were getting ready to leave the house, I remember I was putting my luggage and stuff in the shuttle that it came by to pick us up to the airport. I remember walking back in the house, and my wife had bent over and whispered in my ear. I could see her. I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to take care of him for you, she said. And in any case, it was another one of those moments when I was even just it got all emotional at that moment and so forth. But I could see this happiness in her face that I had never had seen, you know, with, you know, people that I had been with before in my past, and this was different. And she was had a look of like she was truly pleased.
Really?
And happy. You know, like she was settled. It just froze me. I was kind of frozen at the moment. And so forth. And she looked at her and told her, whispered in her ear, see, prayers do get answered. And my wife had did that. And what was interesting to me was it was as if they'd already had spoken or connected somewhere along the line and so forth. So I just believe in my heart that Amandine was rested. She was satisfied before she left here. And that's kind of how I like to think.
Well, Miguel, I know that was hard to share. I know that was hard to share, you know, and I appreciate you sharing that, but that was some really excitement. That was that really was, I mean, I couldn't have got a better answer to that question. What was the happiest times you've seen her? That's pretty strong. I appreciate that. Appreciate you sharing that. Very personal. Appreciate that. Well, Ms. Montrese, I'm going to let you answer this next to the last question. Well, give me some happy times you've seen Amandine, and then we're going to go. I'm going to give you all a short break, and then we're going to come back and answer this last question and wrap the show up. So go ahead. Let us know some happy times you've seen her, the happiest you've seen her.
Oh, not like I was saying. Most every day, you know, because I always be around her almost every day, you know. She always happy. She's always happy. If we go to church, she's happy. If she's sitting there home with her grandchildren, she's happy, happy. I mean, even when she's sitting there watching TV, she sometimes still watch TV, but if she got on the gospel show, she gets so happy. She's just a happy person. And this one thing made her so happy. When God bless her with a brand new car. I could not even get in to drive it. She would not let me drive it. Then yet, her lover, they'll go to the store. They are all times of night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, driving it. You know? So.
I remember that car.
Yeah. And she wanted me to go drive and put gas and stuff in it. She had to tell me, Montrese, you go to the stove, and the stove just right around the corner from my house, and put some gas off in it while you got it. The children had to stay there with her, all of them. So I took a car, and then as soon as I went and drive up the street, went to the stove for them, filled it up with gas. I made it back to the house. She'd get up, walk outside. She'd tell her lover, hey, will y'all come on outside with me? And she'd sit there, and she'll watch her car. And soon as she sees, she'll walk at that door. She'll say, my friend, how I get this scratch on my car? I was like, what scratch? Said,
well, Monty,
she was like, you, huh?
No, go ahead.
You put a scratch in my car. She said, you put a scratch in my car. I said, I did not put no scratch in your car. Your car is dirty. It, you know, you got to sit up on this tip thing right here, you know, and I call it a shaded tree car. Because
Montrese, you know how folks saw about these new cars now.
Look, I call it a shaded tree car. Because you know what, it was collected
people
dust.
People watch every little scratch on their new cars when they watch every little thing.
I know, and it said it was what it did with her car. It was collecting dust, and all that you had to do was just take your hand, just wipe over it, and she'd think it was a scratch on her car. What you run into? You hit soap, you know, and she ogled me down. And I gave up on it, you know. I said, I didn't wreck your car, darling. You know.
I know one thing.
Yeah,
loving,
right.
Lovey was her right. I know one thing. Lovey was her running buddy. That I know.
Yeah, that's her running buddy.
Oh, she loved Lovey to death. She loved Lovey to death.
Yeah,
you couldn't, Lovey couldn't do wrong by her, Gene.
I would not feel right without mentioning Alvin. Alvin, just quickly, just give me how he felt about Imogene.
Oh, he was crazy about her. I mean, he sometimes he'll come in and he'll say, "Did your mother call?" Something like that.
And I know she loved Alvin for real. I know she loved
Yes, she did. Yes, because she goes, cause number one, they both was on my case. And I would say, y'all getting on my last now. Y'all getting on my last. You know, and she'll say, well, I don't care if I'm getting on your last. You better be glad I ain't running out getting on your butt, you know, or something like that. And she said, well, did you feed that boy some food? Or did you feed him some breakfast?
Just like
she told me early in the morning and say, go fix him some breakfast. I'll fix him some breakfast. Take the children to school, give them some medicine. Get the children out of school. And then once he finished doing all that, and I get to doing all that, I go around and make sure she still had her medicine and she eats some food. And then I make sure I cook her, prepare her a lunch. Then I cook her dinner. When I get to cooking her dinner, I just sit it back inside the ice box, you know, and she just go and, you know, just fix it, you know. And sometimes, you know, she had age, you know, people would come in and help her. And she still said, would not trust her age to cook for her.
Oh,
they
really?
She would have to sit there and watch everything they do. She didn't appreciate their cooking.
Wow.
She's right there in that kitchen, that one little spot chair, and watch everybody. She watched me. And this is what I thank God about my mother, is that my son, Aaron, he would go and cook for two houses, sometimes three. That's why he got this nickname, Chef Boy RD, because he helped me cook for my Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner, and then he'll go around and help Granny fix her Thanksgiving, Christmas dinner.
Hey,
Montreat,
somebody want to holler at you, and I don't know if they want to comment on something earlier, so I thought I'd quickly bring them in. Somebody want to holler at you.
Okay.
Eric, so 817-291, go ahead with your question or comment. Who is this?
This is Tanya.
Hey, Tanya.
My Trace and Miguel, I've just enjoyed listening to y'all talk about your mom. And I've been laughing.
Tanya.
I've been laughing too because I had the privilege of spending time with her and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to you, my Trace, we were talking about you and when she would ask you, I would take her to the doctor and stuff. And we would be sitting at the doctor's office. She'd go, girl, did you call and check on that boy? Did you leave him something? And I said, who at home? Aaron at home? What are you doing at home? School? She said, my girl, I'm talking about Alvin. And I would just fall out and go to laughing. I said, I was And I was looking at my teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you fix that boy something to eat? Well, see, the thing of it is that she just believes in you taking care of home first. She believes in being that virtuous wife. And then she stayed. She didn't just stay on my tree. She stayed on me, too, because I might be out with her stuff. Don't come over here and take me nowhere. You make sure you done took care of Joel at home. Girl, and I'll be like, girl, would you leave me alone? And she just busts out and go laugh. She, I say, I already know what you're going to say, but yes, I have done my job, you know. But that's just a woman she was, you know. And I was sitting, I'm listening to y'all. And the one thing that I wanted to say, and a lot of people didn't know, she's very much involved in the community. She would go out and feed, help the homeless. She looked forward to that. She also participated in the Angel Tree. She, any kind of summer program going on, she was there. And that's the one thing I like. I like to say she was always happy. She loved her family, and that is no lie. She loved her family. And that just, you know, it just blessed me to be around her and everything because it wasn't a dull moment around her. And she like Methuselah, and Miguel, I'm saying, she's always happy. She would keep you laughing. She called. Mm-hmm. If Miguel called, if I came, she told me about that. We were sitting laughing and talking about him. And boy, if something exciting happened, was like Miguel said, she would just scream. She would just scream, mm-hmm. you know. And that's the one thing that I did, you know, I enjoyed about. And talking about going to the drive-in. Mama didn't want to take us to those places, but we knew it. We was going over to Aunt Alma G's house. We was going to the drive-in. I remember we were turning that corner one day, getting ready to head to the drive-in. And one of us then shut that door, and we rolled out that car.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that, Tanya. I remember that. Golly.
She had one hand on the steering wheel. She reached behind her and grabbed it for the easy. She said, "Didn't I tell you to shut that door?" Honey, it was all about her taking care of her family, you know. But, honey, we would have, she got on those, got them back, everybody back in the car, and we went on to the drive-in. But then, I'll tell you what, when you were talking about that drive, I just started laughing. I said, I remember all that. Mm-hmm. We'd have to walk up that street, going across that creek, going to that store. But I tell you what, I don't think none of her nieces or nephews, any of us can say we did not enjoy being in her presence. Because I tell you what, we all enjoyed it. And I'm sure we all have some moments that we could really just sit and laugh at.
Yes, all of them. Every last one of our aunts. Irene, I remember stories, you know, when she lived over in those apartments, the orange ones, and me and Putt used to climb that hill and ride the little torn, we used to ride this little torn, what do you call it? Down his heel. Yeah, the carbon box down his heel. And I remember Irene used to take us to church, and I remember this one church I had, it was downtown, and I used to always think, man, the alleyway is so steep. You like roll down this alleyway. That's one thing about the church I remember. I don't know if y'all remember that or not.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
You talking about Perfect Temple?
I don't remember the name of it. Because I was young, I just remember it was downtown somewhere. And I remember every time we walked in there, the floor was real steep.
Yeah, that's preferably, yeah, I know he's talking about, you know, coming up, you know, as a child, it would because coming up that aisle, but that's before.
Oh, yeah, the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, it was like used to be an old theater, but you're right that it was very tall. A lot of people used to slip going up there.
And I remember, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but I always felt that Alma Jean was in competition with Irene as far as cleaning. Because
I agree.
I'm thinking I'm going to go to y'all house and spell nothing but pine saw, and I come home and spell pine saw. I'm thinking, what in the world? What is it? Irene would come over, Alma Jean would jump up and start cleaning. We just finished cleaning. She's cleaning again because Irene's on the way home. I'm like, what?
That's a good observation there, Miguel. You're probably right.
And we would come over thinking that we're going to get a break from cleaning and all this stuff. But we were still on the same schedule with her as it was with Mama. Eat, take a bath. Where are you going? And you better not go past that when I better be able to see you. I'm like, oh, God. You know, we did still have a little more freedom with her than with Mom.
Mm-hmm.
We sure did.
Mom didn't have to worry about us when we was over there. We didn't have to worry.
Anyway.
And us all sharing that one bed. Oh, my God. All six of us, y'all too. Eight of us in the bed.
Anyway, that's right.
I remember that too. I remember that too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they were all fun. What's that?
Let's do this because I know, Miguel, you got to get up. You got early things to do, and I'm sure Montrese got the kids and everything. I know Tanya got a whole lot going on, so I'm going to wrap this up. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to play one of Alma Jean's favorite songs. We're going to take a little short break, and then I want y'all to come back and answer that last question. What is Alma Jean wanting to say to the family, and we'll just close out like that. Tanya, I'll give you last words to them. You have any more comments or questions to them right quick?
Thank you, sir. I remember riding with Alma Jean, and she said, Tanya, I was sharing this with someone, And I just sat there and let them talk. She said, I told them, you're going to serve the Lord, you serve him with your whole heart. Don't half-step and don't compromise. Say, because you've got the answer to God. For what you didn't do and say that he told you to do and say, and what she said, and what you refused to do. She said, so you serve him wholeheartedly. If you're going to serve him, serve him. If you're not, then don't play with him because he's not a toy. And I remember that stuck with me. I was like, wow. And that, you said a mouthful. That's all I have.
Tanya, we love you. And thank you very much. And we really do. I really do appreciate you. Everything that you've done for me and for my trees. I just want you to know that, okay? I don't know if I told you that, but I just want to let you know that, okay?
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoy y'all. I do. I really do enjoy being around y'all. And I think when I'm with you all, I'm in her presence. Because I see so much of her in y'all.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right,
well,
we love you. We'll be in contact with you.
All right, okay. Tanya. Now, what we're going to do, Tanya, I appreciate those last words. What we're going to do, Miguel and Montrese, just take a quick little break. We're going to play just a little bit, not all of the song, just a little bit of song imaging you like. We'll come back in probably about a couple of minutes, maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and then I want y'all to share that last question. It can be short or long. What is it you think Imogen would have to say to family, okay? So I'm going to put you on hold. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Y'all just take a drink of water, and right after this song goes off, we'll bring y'all right back. We'll cut the song a little short, just a little sample of it, and then we'll bring you right back. Okay, this was, as y'all, again, thank y'all for listening to the Book of Douglas Family and Friends Network. But we got Miguel and Montrese on the line. They've been sharing. I know y'all enjoyed it. But this is one of Imogen's favorite songs. We're just going to, because it's all about her tonight, okay? So check this out, and then we're going to finish the interview with Miguel and Montrese after this song. Check this out. If I can get it to play. Here we go. This was Imogen back in the day, and this is one of her favorite songs, and really she, all the time, even as a believer, all of us probably love this song.
Yeah! Turn them on!
Come
vitamin, sexy move. Ooh, ooh, baby. Girl, there's something that I want to do to you.
Okay, we're back. That's one of Amangine's favorites. Some of us will agree. Some of our favorites too. I ain't gonna lie. We still like that. That's married folk, y'all. We ain't promoting no. This is the married folk, okay? But anyway, I got Miguel and Montreal back on the line. And what do y'all think? They'll bring back memories a little bit.
Yeah, they bring back memories. That. I thought I hear it every day.
Huh?
My oldest daughter. I said I hear that song almost every other day now. Cause love it, she got. And when she's turning up, when she's in the car driving, that's when she that's what her CD is. She got all that on her CD because she said her granny told her to listen to that.
Yeah. Teddy Pendergrass, I miss him. He's one of those guys that just was real. But anyway. All right, guys, the last question. Miguel Montreat, last question. What would Amangine say to the family? What do y'all think she'd say? We don't know. She's not here, so y'all have to, y'all have that heart thing going on with her. Y'all have soul ties with her. What do you think she would say to the family? And this will be the last question for tonight. Why don't you go first, Montreat?
She probably would say, y'all should get the life right with God. Because God is not a play toy, like Tanya was telling us. God is not a play toy. But get your life right with God. Get your life right with God and serve to the fullness. Don't go half-stepping. Fix yourself up and just go on with it. Because he's soon to return. He's soon to return. We don't know the day nor the hour. He shall return. But get your life right and serve to the fullness.
That sounds like a lot of what Aunt Robbie was saying when she was on the show, that the same sentiment.
Yep.
All right, Mr. Miguel, what do you say?
I think Amangine would say, first, I think she would tell everybody she loves them. And to stay encouraged, be encouraged, and don't stop praying.
Yeah.
Always pray. Always pray, and family that prays together stays together, and be happy, and help one another.
That's pretty strong, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess y'all said it, and y'all meant it, right?
That's right.
So we're going to go ahead and wrap this show up. So thank y'all for doing it. I really do. I just enjoy these shows. I keep saying I want people to come and host, but I really enjoy hosting. I do have a life too and would like to do some other things and want some other people to take over, but I can't lie. Every time I do these shows, of course, I make sure I enjoy because I ask the questions, but I really enjoy hearing all these people's account of, you know, the sisters and Grandpa, Grandma, Big Mama, Kayla Booker, everybody. It's just really good, and I hope the young people are really listening out. Let me just tell y'all real quickly. While y'all are talking, y'all may not know this, but there's a slideshow of Amangine going on. Did y'all know that? Okay. It's a slideshow, yeah. Anybody that's listening online is actually looking at Amangine.
Okay.
Everybody that's listening to y'all right now online, is people in the chat room right now, they actually see.
You put that slideshow together?
Yeah, it's like five pitchers. One of them, Miguel, you might kill me, actually, because one of them is a young pitcher of you and Miguel.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know what? You know what?
Anyway,
I'm going to email you right now before I get off the phone a picture of Imogene that no one has seen before. And it was the last picture I took of Imogene when she was down here and she was standing on the beach. And when you see this picture, whoever's listening, take a look at it. I don't know how long it takes Seth to put it up, but it's a pretty amazing picture because it sums up her life in just this one shot that was taken with a cell phone. And everything you see on this picture, Matrice hadn't even seen it, and I had to figure out some way of getting it to her. I have to probably send it to Lovey or something. But
okay.
No one has seen this picture. This is a picture I've kept on my desktop for I don't know how long now.
Well, you send that to me tonight. If you send it to me tonight, Miguel, I'll make sure you tell me which one you want me to take out, because I got to take one of them off. I got a picture of Breck and Michaela and Jennifer. That one with Imogene at this table. I got one with you and Montrese at a younger age. And I got like three pictures of Imogene just pitched. They're not, one of them is not real clear. Maybe I'll take one of them off and slide in the one you're going to email me. But if you do email it tonight, probably before I go to bed, I'll try. If not, I'll do it tomorrow morning. But I got to get in this bed because I got to get up too. But if you send it pretty quickly, I'll try to throw it on there tonight. And that way when somebody does the video tomorrow, it'll already be on there. If you can do it tonight, I'll get it in there tonight.
I am sending it to you right now. In fact, hold on a second here. I don't get your email address on here.
Aren't you Mr. Technical Savvy there? Well, listen, Tanya expressed her, you know, how she enjoyed being around y'all. And, you know, y'all, Imogene didn't have that many kids, so it's like the fewer you are, the more attention you get. So please know that I, too, enjoy being around y'all. I really do. Y'all just seem to be no drama, just nothing but good memories. Nothing but good memories. And I know some people listening say, well, Imogene wasn't that nice. You really was. Imogene was a partier. Even when she got saved, she still had an up spirit. She wasn't partying, but she loved being positive, you know, upbeat. She was never negative. So, Miguel,
okay.
If you would go ahead and send me that picture, I will load that. But like
I've already sent it to you.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and change. Which one picture you want me to take out? Well, I'll make
it. Doesn't matter.
I think I'm going to take the blue one out because it's real fuzzy. I'll take that one out. But anyway, listen, I really, really enjoyed y'all. And I'm going
to
play a song.
Take a picture.
I'm going to say it again.
Let me know what you think of it when you see it.
Okay, I will. I'll just type you back some. But I want y'all to listen to this song. It's by Luther Barnes. It's called It's Your Time. And I do believe it is y'all's time. And that is if you're faithful to the Most High and keeping His word in your life. This song is to both of y'all. I'm going to dedicate this song to y'all. And just know that I have appreciated everything y'all shared tonight. We'll go ahead and wrap the show up with this last song. Any last comments before I wrap this up? Any last comments?
Oh, sir, I heard the album. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I have on the first show that you wished Anyama a happy birthday. She did have. I did went, and I got busy doing something else. But it was a lovely party, and it was just her and her little friend, and baby, she had a house full.
Oh yeah, we talked about that. We talked about that earlier a lot. I even played a song for her earlier. The first part of the show, when you get a chance, maybe somebody got a computer will let you listen. I talked about that a lot earlier. You just missed it, just barely. You missed it.
I said
happy birthday to her, and I also played her a song by Stevie Wonder, and I expressed to everybody why I didn't make it. So, but Lovey did tell her I said happy birthday, right?
Yeah. Everybody told her happy birthday. It was just a beautiful day. She enjoyed herself, enjoyed her little friend that is her age. You know.
Wow.
She enjoyed it. She enjoyed it.
Well, listen, Monday, I'm going to wrap this up. I know y'all got to get up tomorrow. Everybody get up, got to get up. But I'm going to warn you, listen to this whole song because it's a blessing, especially in the middle where you do a little talking. But check this song out as we wrap it up. Again, Montrese, Miguel, I really enjoyed y'all. Thank y'all for those memories. Whatever we knew about Imogene, we know a little bit more after y'all presentation night. So I'm going to go ahead and put y'all on hold, and I'm going to play this song, and then we out of here, okay?
Okay.
All righty.
Love y'all, and
love
appreciate
you. Thank you, Seth.
Yes, you're welcome. And Montrese, thank you. I really appreciate everything y'all have done tonight. So everybody, there you have it. Well, hold on. I want to come, Montrese. What would you say, Montrese?
Now, I said you're so much welcome. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, you're surely welcome, and I really did enjoy that. And so just think, folks, we can always go back and rewind and listen to that all over again if you want to. That's just how nice it was. I really did enjoy this interview tonight. And so I dedicate this song to both Miguel and Montrese. Check this out. This is for you if you're walking and being faithful to the Most High. Remember this song right here, and don't hang up till it goes off. I'm watching y'all. No, but really check this song out, especially in the middle. This is messages for y'all, all right? And anybody else out there that's walking that straight and narrow, this is to you as well. Tanya, thank you for your comments. You always bring another dimension. Really appreciate your comment, Tanya, tonight. All right, check this out. Luther Barnes, it's your time. It really is y'all's time. Good night, everybody.
For your faithfulness, it's dedicated to all of you who have been working in the vineyard for the Lord for what seems like a lifetime. You have dreamed and you've worked towards things that you wanted to accomplish for yourself. But somehow your biggest goals always seem to be just out of your reach. But the Lord told me to tell you that He knows who you are. Yes, He's seen your work, and He's also seen your tears. And He wants you to know today that you're not forgotten. He's here to reward you for all your faithfulness. But He said in His word that if you would delight yourself in Him, He will give you the desires of your heart. In other words, not only will He give you what you need, but He promised to give you whatever you want. So don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Hang in there and prepare yourself for your blessing. It's your time now. Your time. Think